Thank you, brother, for that ministry. You'll be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. We've given you a handout for those of you if you like to take notes. We'll have the things to fill in on the slides and verses and that kind of stuff. Apologize for the need to say next and get the thing. That was a little distracting, but there won't be a test. It's not required. But if it's a blessing to help, you follow along. Matthew chapter 21. In the, well, even in the regular world, but in the Christian world, this particular week is known as Palm Sunday. And just want to deal with a passage that is often used. You've heard, I'm sure, messages from this before, but maybe not in this from this angle. You see the title at the top of the page there. The question, why did Jesus ride a donkey into Jerusalem that day? I mean, wasn't he the king of the Jews? Wasn't he going to be set up to rule and reign? And the Jews were expecting that, of course. And they were disappointed all along the way. But there's quite a stigma associated with donkeys. Next. Why is that? Well, they're just kind of lowly animals. They're kind of dumb. They're stubborn. It's hard to make them go if they don't want to go. But Jesus sent his disciples after to get a donkey for him to ride. We're told it might be a natural question. Couldn't he find anything better? I mean, couldn't he come riding in on a white charger like the Jews expected a king to do and defeat the enemies and pick up the rule and so on? Well, I'm sure he could have found anything better that he wanted, but he chose to ride a donkey, and we want to discover the real reason for that as we go along this morning. Introduction to the passage is in the first three verses, Matthew chapter 21. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So we see now in verse 4, what I've called next. Oh, I forgot to say next for that one. Okay, now another one. Okay, the prophecy. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. The probabilities of messianic prophecies is worthy for us to know. Next, there were 109 occasions or prophecies in Scripture. Next. Referring to his first advent, his first coming. The fulfillment probabilities of that figure, if you know anything, where's Mrs. Swearingen? You know anything about, yeah, about math, that would be a fulfillment of a prophecy, any prophecy has a 1 in 2 chance, right? So 109 would have a 1 in 2 to the 109th power chance of being fulfilled. That would run the zeros all across the board and the whole thing. But if you say, let's see, pick something more likely. It's going to rain in South Carolina, North Carolina. You'd have a 1 in 2 chance of that happening, right? But if you add a condition and say it's going to rain tomorrow, that is only 1 in 4 chances. Because it might rain, but it might rain today, or it might rain 2 days later. So you keep on going like that and apply all these prophecies, and there's no human chance of all those being fulfilled by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry. 33 of those were major prophecies, if we can make the difference, starting with the virgin birth, leading to the type of death, his crucifixion, all the things that we go through in the Eastern season, And finally, his ascension up to heaven to be back with the Father where he once was, as he prayed about in John 17. So we can get kind of a preview then of looking at this particular prophecy from verse 4 in Zechariah 9:9. Oh, I keep forgetting to say next. Keep going. More. Okay, quote from Zechariah 9:9. Now one more. All right. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and a colt the foal of an ass. Why would a king ride a donkey? And why would it be prophesied that this king would ride a donkey? Well, let's look at the paradox in verse 5. And it's quoting that prophecy. It says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass. You wouldn't expect that of a king. And a colt, the foal of an ass. Here's a poor teacher without any place to lay his head, no place to call home, ended up in a borrowed tomb, had a small band of 12 intimate followers and others who followed him for a time and then went away, big crowds who came but not for the right reasons to see the miracles and so on. But this idea of his being a king, next. Okay, more. I'm sorry, Dave. Next. Was expected by the people. They were expecting a king to deliver them from the rule of Rome. And this was foretold by Jesus. He mentioned that during his ministry. But then the paradox of this king, instead of a lowly, meek person, being meek, is the next one, versus the idea of a triumphant king crushing this foe and leading the captives through the street in chains and those other pictures that we have in various places. But finally, a paradox of a donkey, as opposed to a spirited white charger, the king with his scepter and crown and coming in to rule the kingdom. It just didn't fit. We would say today, it does not compute. Okay. So we get a picture then of this happening, the way it's described in the prophecy. There's a clue, next two, from Zechariah 9:10. We looked at 9:9. Look at verse 10. We find that the kings of the east rode donkeys when they were on missions of peace. They didn't want to stir up the people to be afraid and figure there was war and so on. A horse was used as a charger in war, but Jesus was indicating here that although he came as Israel's king, he wasn't a political revolutionary or he wasn't a military leader. He was come to save his people from their sins. And so we see then Christ next be as a messenger of peace. Oh, there's the verse. Sorry about that. All right, next. Christ as a messenger of peace. That's prophesied next in Isaiah 2 and verse 4. Next. He shall judge among the nations, rebuke many people. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Is he not called the Prince of Peace in Scripture? He's a messenger of peace. And this was fulfilled, this prophecy. Think of John 14:27. Next. Next verse. Jesus said to his followers, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. You can't understand humanly my kind of peace, but this is what I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to listen to Sean Hannity to know the truth of that statement, because it came from the Lord Jesus. Well, we saw in the Bible that there are three kinds of peace. Next. Three designations of types of peace. There's, first of all, the peace with God. We find that mentioned in Romans 5 and verse 1. Next. Therefore, being justified by faith, we believers have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our possession. It belongs to us. It's ours. But there's also another kind of peace that we refer to as the peace of God. Philippians 4:7 tells us, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. Peace of mind is a phrase that's kicked about a lot, and it's not so much thought of as peace of heart, but both are necessary, and that's provided through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. Peace with God, peace of God, but there's also, third, the peace from God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou, speaking to God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. I love the story about a famous, world-famous artist who was traveling through mountain country, meadows and mountains and beautiful scenery. And he noticed as he got through town that there was a posting that there was going to be an art contest in the local gallery. And the theme for the pictures in this contest were to illustrate peace. He thought, all right, I'll enter that contest. I'm professional. And so he painted his picture, and there was a stream running through the valley, and the cows were grazing, and the sheep in the meadows, and the smoke was coming out of the chimney of the little cottages, and the weather was just beautiful. There were certain clouds in the sky. And so he thought, to overstatement, he just titled the painting Peace. Well, the day came after the judging. The people went into the art gallery, and he looked around, and he saw his painting, and it had a red ribbon on it. Couldn't figure out how anybody could make any better picture of peace than he had made. So he began frantically searching through the gallery, and he came to the picture with the blue ribbon on it. And he just stood back in awe. It was almost black at the top, black clouds, lightning coming down, a boisterous sea with waves splashing all over the place, dark, stormy, and water going everywhere. And down in the corner, there was some rocks, and in the rock was a carved out cleft, and there was a mother bird feeding her young, oblivious to the storm, and the title of the painting was Perfect Peace. Peace in the midst of storms is a peace from God. And we have that as well. All right, number four, verses 8 through 11 mention the people that were involved in this triumphal entry. Verse 11, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, answering the question of the city in verse 10, who is this? And Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You guys have made it a den of thieves. They didn't understand then, these great multitudes coming from all the city, who is this? They thought only in terms of earthly freedom. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Next. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're spiritually discerned. They're foolishness unto the world. They can't even know them. Somebody that's unsaved cannot understand spiritual truth. They can listen and hear and be saved, but how has that happened? because they're spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit gives the ability to understand the truths of salvation so people can get saved. They proclaimed that day, verse 9, Hosanna in the highest. Literally, that could be translated, save thou who art in highest heaven. Psalm 118 says, save now thou who art above all. So this means that they next unwittingly acknowledge his deity. They used that phrase, that words, that terminology, but they had no clue what it meant. And they weren't crying out for salvation by saying those things. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. You remember those, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Things in heaven, things in earth, to the glory of God the Father. One day, everyone will understand what it means, the one that's highest, from highest heaven, that came to save. And it's significant that many of these very same people who said, save thou who art from highest heaven, 3 days later, crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! We don't want Jesus. Crucify him. You know, it's next still unchanged today. Many who declare themselves admirers of the Lord Jesus don't recognize him as the Savior of sinners. You can ask people different places, you believe in God? You believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. But not as Savior, not as Master, not as Lord. And that's one reason why we're here. Why we do what we do. Why we have church. Why we have outreach. Because of those that are still to whom the gospel is foolishness, who don't believe, who don't understand. And that leads us to finally then some principles that we learn from in Scripture and concerning this particular time. There we go. First principle is that the cross had to precede the crown. Yes, Jesus would be King of the Jews. Yes, he came. He told Pilate, this is why I came. But it didn't happen right then. Pilate sent him out and be crucified. He had to go to the cross first to accomplish our redemption. Had he not? Well, Paul said, we'd be all men most miserable by the time that came around. Matthew 16, go back a couple pages here from our text. Matthew 16 and verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. It didn't end with the cross. It didn't end with his death. Luke 9, verse 51. Next. Because he set his face toward Jerusalem. He said in John 9, I must finish the work of him that sent me. And what did he say in his seven last words from the cross? Saying about it, it is finished. Amen. The Greeks tell us that it means it's finished and nothing more can be added. The debt is stamped paid. Tetelestai. Isaiah 50, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I'll not be ashamed. It was from his purpose from the beginning. In fact, they had a meeting about it before the world began, did they not? In Psalm 2, the plan of salvation was all set before Adam and Eve came, before Cain killed Abel and the sacrifice was made, and all of those things that were symbols to us. So we see now then a second principle applies to us today. Receiving him has to precede reigning with him. Yes, he's the king. Yes, he's Lord of lords. Yes, we'll be with him one day in heaven. And yes, he says, you'll rule and reign with me for the 1,000 years and over 10 cities and all those things that prophecy tell about. But we have to receive him first. Someone who has never personally, knowingly, actively asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their Savior and forgive their sins can't expect to be in the realm of the King when he comes back again. There may be, I don't know, there may be somebody here today that's never taken that act of receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He can be all the king and the best king and the greatest society the world has ever known and go to heaven, but if you haven't received him, you won't be there. People around us, even the world, is saying, oh boy, there's so many things happening in our world, it must be like signs of the tribulation or signs of his coming. The Bible doesn't give us any exact signs of when Jesus is going to come again. It's going to be thief in the night. But then the tribulation will take place, and then the millennium, and then the reign in heaven. And somebody who doesn't know him now, it'll be too late to try to get to him later. To rule with him in the future, we must trust him as Savior now. One poet said, if in heaven a crown you'd wear and bright palms of victory bear, Christ the Savior you must claim and find redemption in his name. So, conclusion to answer our question, why did Jesus ride a donkey? He did it to picture being a messenger of peace. Isn't that what the angel said would happen in the very beginning announcement of his birth? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So it's a fair question. Listen to the bottom of the note sheet there. Jesus came to bring peace. We have the peace with God, the peace from God, the peace of God. What kind of peace do you need today? Pastor?
Aren't you glad that he came to give peace before he brought the sword? Now, that way we had an opportunity to be reconciled to him, and so that we don't have to face him with a sword. What a wonderful truth that is. All right, we're headed to Sunday school. Don't forget, all ladies, teenage girls, and above will be in here. And then the others, so the care corps is not meeting this morning because it's primarily made up of ladies. The other ones, Pastor Adam announced those locations, so spread out into those different locations, and then we'll see you. You need to